If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus says here in John's Gospel, chapter 10, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. What does he come to kill? What does he come to steal? What does he come to destroy? If you are born again, he can't kill you. If you are born again, he can't destroy you. If you are born again, he can't steal anything from you. So what is it that he's stealing? He's trying to steal your life. Not the life that the breathing and all that apparatus, no, but your quality of life. So why is it that many of us are genuinely born again on our way to heaven and eternal life, but miserable down here? I cannot believe that God sent Jesus to die on a cross so I can have eternal life, but be miserable while I'm living it. That doesn't make any sense. God could not have sent Jesus to die in my place so I can stay sick. God did not send Jesus to die in my place so I can stay broke. God did not send Jesus to die in my place so I can always be depressed about things that I don't get. So Jesus summarizes his purpose for us here by saying, I am come that you might have life. And that word life there in the Greek is the word zoe. And it's really pronounced zoe, but we just skipped the D. But that word zoe, it means fullness. It doesn't talk about just salvation. He says, I'm coming so that you can have a better outlook. I'm coming so that you can have a better confession. So that you can have a better lifestyle. Hallelujah. Why is it that none of you want to live in a house that has broken windows, mice, bed bugs, garbage all over the floor, no lights working, power's out, water been shut off, and you call that home? How many of you want to live in a place like that? Let's say it was left to you. Somebody in your family left you a house that was in that condition. How many of you would want it, would like it? And even if you did get it, most of you would flip it. Because you've been watching the Property Brothers, who are a little suspect to me, but that's a whole nother sermon. But you've been watching, you know, flip it. And that's probably the only thing you would do. Ooh, that is such a great, the Holy Spirit's all right. How many of you would get that house and flip it? All right, watch this. That's how you were when you came to God and he flipped you. I just got that. That's pretty darn good, isn't it? We came to God all busted up, broken up, pipes all dilapidated. We didn't even have copper. We had lead pipes. We were just ruined. Jesus took us and flipped it. He flipped our lives and gave us joy. He gave us peace. He gave us love. He made us feel better about the fact that we are children of God. Took us right out the projects. Found us on welfare and made us inheritance, gave us an inheritance of God. Tell your neighbor, you've been flipped. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, I've been flipped. Man, that was all right, Holy Ghost. He just gave me that. Somebody's praying for me. Got them. So, why does Jesus do that? Why not just save us, leave us alone, and take us to heaven, since heaven is the rule? I mean, come on, what's the point? Why all these promises about prosperity, about support and supply? Why all these promises about healing and deliverance when eternal life is the thing that we strive for? Why not just let you live miserable and take you to heaven? Because that's what you want. Why does he give you promises? Give and I'll give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over good measure. Why give you that? Why not just say, hold your money, stay broke, and when you die, come on to heaven. Why heal you? Why provide healing in the atonement when you want to go to heaven? Just let you die. And what are you fighting so hard to live down here for? If you have heaven as your guarantee, why not stop taking your meds and die? Well, either you aren't sure you're going to heaven, or you ain't ready to go yet. Now, my philosophy is very simple. Heaven has been there for eternity. It can wait for me. I got a lot of living to do yet. I have 19 more states to visit before I've gone to all 50 states in the United States. Just 19. There's a lot of living yet to do. Got to build a new church. Got to move in healing. Watch this. Have to see a dead person get raised in my ministry. And I ain't talking about somebody that died at 10 o'clock and we prayed for him at 10:30. I'm talking about somebody in a casket. And don't tell nobody. Don't tell anybody. It's just between you, my 7:30 special privileged people, and the Lord. That's what I've been praying and asking him for. Just let me walk up one day and just tap the casket, and they sit up and watch all the people. I miss them. Watch them all run out. And the person that's raised will turn and look to me and say, where'd everybody go? I say, they gone to Benson's. And why is it that we look for such great demonstrations of the Spirit? Because we serve a God who is only hampered by our limited speech. Now, I need you to see something. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life. And some translations say, and live it to the full. We're not living a full life. We are living a spiritual existence of mediocrity, coming to church every Sunday, getting full off the Word of God, and then going right back out and falling into the same traps that imprisoned us to begin with. In many cases, the only difference between many believers today from when they were saved and now when they are saved, before they were saved and when they are saved, is that they're just Christians. They have the same concepts, they have the same thoughts, they have the same personal theologies. Well, we use the phrase, well, it just ain't meant to be. Well, how do you know? As you grow in God, your efforts, your physical efforts decrease, and your faith effort increases. As you grow in God. Here's an example. I was in Disney on 9/11, 2001, and our daughter was home. And so when we got the news about the planes crashing into the thing, and all the flights were grounded, and I kept calling Elder Melvise like every day to figure out, you know, when we're going to be able to get on a plane. Called Shanina, and she was okay, but, you know, her mother and I kind of knew that she wasn't totally comfortable. So the third day after this happened, we were told we couldn't get a flight. Everything was still grounded. And I had even talked about renting a private jet, but he told me everything was grounded. So I looked in the yellow pages there, and I got a limo. So I called the limo company, and I said, I need to get to Philadelphia, and I need to get there ASAP. And he said, okay. I said, I have a credit card with no balance. Nothing's on it. How much will it cost me? So he gave me the price. He said, that's with two drivers. I said, that's all I need, because I don't want you to stop except gas and bathroom. They filled the car up with junk food, picked us up at 10 o'clock that morning, and brought us home. When I got home, I forget the time we finally pulled in front of my door. I put the key in the lock, and we expected to see our daughter up. She was sleeping. The next day, I said, "Do you know when we came in?" She says, "Yeah, I heard noise, but I knew it was you." I says, "Weren't you concerned?" She said, "No." I said, "Why?" She said, "I know my dad. I knew he'd find a way to get home." Now, how do you know that? Because I live with you. What problem comes into your life that your dad can't figure a way out to get you out? And you should be at such peace. "I know my dad. My dad isn't going to let me go under. My dad isn't going to let me suffer. My dad isn't going to let me stay sick. My dad isn't going to let me stay broke. My dad isn't going to let me be defeated. My dad is going to stand by me. My dad," this is what Jesus means when he said, "Seek how the kingdom works. My sheep know my voice. They don't go to strangers. And I've come to improve your life." And how many of us can say with boldness that my life is improved since I became a Christian? That I'm no longer in the same bondage that I was before I was a believer. Oh, bless the Lord. See, the babe in Christ says, "God, you got to do this for me." The more mature believer says, "God, you do whatever you need to do, and it's all right with me." I got to the place now in my life, I said, "God, I don't care what you do. I know you're going to do it well. It's all right."
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 800-869-1690. And when ordering, request ID number
10315A.
Today's message is available on CD for $7 and DVD for $12. Here at Bethel, we'd like to hear from you. To correspond with us directly, you may send emails to info@betheldeliverance.org or write to Bethel Deliverance International Church, 2901 West Sheltenham Avenue, Wincote, PA 19095. For more information about Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church, visit betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise it.